Welcome to Home Story with Veronica. I'm Veronica Diquez, and today we're diving into the people, places, and decisions that make a house a home. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to Home Story, where we explore the transformations, strategies, and stories behind spaces people love. I'm your host, Veronica Diquez, and today we are joined by someone who knows exactly how to turn any space into a buyer's dream. Daniela Acosta-Lamin. She is the founder of Dwell and Roam, a design studio known for creating spaces that perform, whether you're living in them, selling them, or hosting guests. She helps homeowners and real estate professionals elevate their properties with designs that blend beauty, function, and market strategy. Today, we're starting with one of the biggest challenges people face. How do you stage your home for sale while you are still living in it? It is one of the most searched questions online, and Daniela has mastered the balance between real life and market-ready design. Daniela, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Yay! Thanks. She's actually a personal friend of mine, and I love her to death. Yeah. But anyways, and watch us on House Hunters.
We were
House Hunters. Many homeowners want top dollar, but they feel overwhelmed by the idea of staging while living in the home. The clutter, the daily routines, the personal touches can make it feel impossible to create a show-ready look. What are the first three things, Daniela, you think that homeowners should remove before staging a house?
I definitely think excess furniture plays a big role. A lot of times clutter and visual noise is impactful when somebody's just walking in. You make a first impression, and it's very difficult to see for some people, to see past the clutter and the visual noise. And by visual noise, I mean things on the countertop, even personal items. You know, a lot of times, if you have a pre-installed gallery wall, I'm not saying you have to like take it all down, and replace it with, you know, home goods stuff, but you do have to consider that you want the person to come in and feel like they're, you know, this is going to be their home, kind of picture themselves in that space.
So if you walk into a house and, you know, a lot of people have all of their stuff on the kitchen counter, for example. Mm-hmm. They have all of their spices. They have all the appliances. Mm-hmm. They have all of their kids' paintings everywhere. Those are the kind of things that you suggest that leave the counter empty, or give us a little bit more details on that.
Yeah, I think that definitely any kind of photography, you know, if you have, again, a gallery wall, no, but if you have little things that are there that are touches that you have for your own family, like you said, children's paintings and things like that. Maybe the people coming in don't have kids and they don't necessarily want to see all that clutter. Again, you have to kind of set the tone for when somebody walks in, and just how can you make it simple for them to see past all the things. The least barriers they have to do that, the better. So I think definitely anything that's like not, doesn't have to be there. So another example too is, again, large furniture.
Okay.
A lot of times people have super bulky furniture and it doesn't allow any space for the person to visualize like how they're going to set up the space.
Okay.
And it takes up a lot of the room. So, you know, so taking some of those pieces out does make a difference as well.
Okay. I love that. And what design mistake instantly make a home look cluttered or smaller? Like you were talking about the big furniture.
Yeah.
Any other examples that you have regarding the furniture or any mistakes in designing that would make the house not look like it is supposed to look?
Well, one of the things we see a lot is a lot of people have bad scaling when it comes to their setup. So a lot of times there'll be large furniture like we talked about, but also really small rugs. And really small rugs make a space look small, look bad. You know,
okay.
It's almost like the eye doesn't equate, you know, how it's in the space.
Right.
So then it makes it seem bad, you know. So definitely the smaller rugs, the oversized furniture like we talked about, and lighting is super important also.
Yes. And give us details on that.
Yeah, we don't want drapes that are heavy and anything like that, because then that won't prevent the natural light. Even if you don't have a naturally lit, well-lit space, you still want to make sure that you don't have the drapes, you know, completely closed, and that they're not too heavy for them to take too much visual weight. Again, it's all about the eyes, you know. You're selling something and it's a very visual thing that you have to capture the attention of the buyer. within the first few seconds, you know, to really get them to feel a certain way.
Yeah.
That feeling, you have to evoke it, and you have to do it with lighting and space and having them flow with the ability of picturing themselves in that area.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's one of the first things that I do whenever I bring a buyer to see a house, if the drapes are closed, if all of the windows have no light coming in, I open them up, I let the light in, and it just makes the world of difference.
Yeah. And I also notice a lot of times, you know, I know people are very fond of their collections. A lot of times people have, you know, they're very fond of the little collectibles that they collect, sports cards or memorabilia or even, you know, whatever you collect. But I feel like those are the items that you don't want to clutter your space with.
Yeah.
Even a lot of small decor items, you know, less is more when it comes to that, because, again, you're just taking up visual room.
Yeah. And a touchy subject every time I have a client who wants to stage a house to sell it. Ethnicity, religion, and we're not going to get into what we're in and what we're not into. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being neutral, right? What do you recommend about that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you feel really strongly about specific items in your house, then okay, leave them. But I would say the best recommendation, again, would be to, like you said, neutralize the space. Put those aside just for the time that you're selling your house. You can put them out for your house and for all your future guests to see later or when you move to your new house. But I feel like those items don't necessarily, I mean, you might have some kind of relatability with some customers, but you are narrowing your niche.
Yes.
So I think it's important to, again, the goal is to sell the house faster, not to sell just to certain people. So the broader your audience, the bigger your chances, the faster you sell. And that's really the goal.
Absolutely. And which low cost upgrades give the biggest return when selling when it comes to staging a house, you think?
I love this one because it's so simple and it's overlooked. So hardware is a big one.
Yep.
If you go to a place, you can have very outdated cabinetry, but as soon as you change, I call it the jewelry, you know, the jewelry.
I love that, the jewelry.
That and, like, you know, sink faucets and things like that, I consider those the jewelry of the space. So hardware is very important. A couple of changes of those are very inexpensive. You can get some on Facebook Market for really cheap and or Home Depot, whatever, or anywhere. I mean, there's so many places, but that's a big one for
yeah.
sure. I also think the light fixtures make a huge impact. There's a huge impact on how outdated you can make a room feel.
Yeah.
When you have an old 1970s chandelier.
Gotta love those.
Yeah. And just changing that alone and slapping a new vibrant, clean paint on, that alone makes a huge change
yeah.
in the space. And it feels newer, fresher, you know, and that's really what you want to appeal to more buyers.
It changes the whole vibe.
It's the whole vibe, yes.
It really does. Anything else that you suggest that is low cost?
I would say, again, the painting and the faucets are also something that's big. If you don't have the budget to go and refresh your entire bathroom, you know, change the sconce, maybe the mirror. If it's a easy pre-hung mirror, I mean, easy to hang mirror.
Yep.
You can just swap that out quickly, inexpensively. And then if you change the towel bars and also like the faucet, it's really not going to cost you more than a couple of $100. But what you'll get in return is a lot more money for your sale, because the value that the customer sees when they, or the buyer, potential buyer sees when they walk into the house is huge.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the first things, you know, the buyer is always going to have in their mind. Well, we need to negotiate because I have to do all of this upgrades. I have an outdated bathroom. So those are things that are going to cost you more in the long run. If you don't change them and you have to negotiate with a buyer, then you just taking care of it yourself.
Correct. Yeah. Because yep. it's going to drive down your price at the end of the day.
That's exactly.
Not what you want.
Yep. What color, let's talk about colors. I love this conversation. Yeah. What color palettes photograph best for online listings?
So I know not everybody likes that whole gray vibe that's going on.
Agreeable gray?
Agreeable gray for all. No, but there is truth to neutrals being favorable for photography, mm-hmm. for real estate. So, I mean, you want bright spaces. Again, lighting is super important. And what helps that is, yes, a grage or a taupe. That doesn't mean all your house has to be gray and your floors have to be gray and everything has to be gray. No, but setting a neutral tone that is not too cool, not too warm, usually is pretty good for the eyes. I also think the soft whites are easy. Mm-hmm. You just have to make sure that when you pick a white, there's a whole variety of whites. And you, they can draw purple, they can draw red, they can draw yellow. I mean, there's a million types of white, believe it or not. And so you have to be considerate of your lighting. And that's where, you know, an expert can help you define what is a good color for your space, depending on the lighting and how it comes in and the exposure and all that stuff. So I think those are big. And then combining neutrals too, like it doesn't mean that it has to be boring and bland.
Yeah.
It can have pops of color, but it has to be cohesive. So if you are doing some soft whites, you can also pop it with some darks and have that impact, a visual impact that you need. It doesn't have to be boring, but it should be, you know, neutral for the eye.
Yes, I love that. What are some of the overlooked details that you've seen that make a big difference to buyers? I think we've talked about most of them, honestly. Yeah, hardware, the lighting.
Oh, definitely. No, number one overlooked issue that I see over and over and over mm-hmm. is light bulbs.
The light bulbs. The yellow ones instead of the... Yeah.
No, and just having them all match. You know, true. There is... You want a 2700 Kelvin, like soft white, you know, it's soft, warm lighting.
Yeah.
It makes the whole vibe more inviting. And it's such a simple fix. You go to the hardware store, you get your thing, or you go to Amazon, buy a box of bulbs.
Yeah.
Change all the bulbs so they match. Because if you have a cool light bulb here and a warm one here and a really low one there and a super spotlight bright one there, I mean, it just completely changes the look and feel of the space. So light bulbs, number one thing to consider and super cheap to do. So,
love it. Light bulbs, people.
Yes. 2700 Kelvin, please. Keep it at that.
Write it down.
Write that down.
Coming up next, we are diving into the world of Airbnb design and the choices that increase bookings and nightly rates. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. Stories, strategies, and inspiration to help you write your next home chapter. This is Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Veronica Dinkins, and you're watching Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. Let's jump back into today's conversation. Welcome back to Home Story with Veronica. Want more design, home improvement, and real estate inspiration? Stay connected to Home Story and all of your Now Media TV favorites, live or on demand anytime you want. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku, iOS, or for actually nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. Do you prefer podcasts? Catch every episode at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and home to lifestyle and culture, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Home Story with Veronica. We are here with design expert Daniela Acosta-Levine. And this segment is for every short-term rental owner who wants more bookings, better reviews, and higher nightly rates. Great Airbnb design isn't just the core, it's actually strategy. Short-term rentals live and die by photography, first impressions, and functionality. Guests decide within seconds when they see it, whether a space feels worth their money. Daniela, you and I are both actually Airbnb owners,
yes.
So I am looking forward to this conversation myself.
This is my favorite.
Yes, I love it. What design features create a strong first impression in a short-term rental?
I think it's all about, there's color psychology and strategy behind any time you do a short-term rental. You're not designing for yourself or for your taste. You're designing with an ideal client avatar in mind.
Okay.
Who are you trying to attract? So that is the first thing, is detaching. So some of the things you have to consider, generically speaking, are definitely color psychology. There is, again, a math and a psychology aspect to short-term rental design. So color psychology, you want to go with the standout stuff. You don't necessarily need to theme it and go completely 100%, you know, one way with a theme, but you do want to make it where it's attractive to the buyer, because you have, like you said, 3 seconds to capture their attention.
Yeah.
And it is a thumbnail that's like this big.
Yes, it is. I struggle with that all the time.
And the thumbnail is, so there's analysis that has to go in there, and you have to look at your competition and what they have. And if everybody has some light calming neutral, then maybe you go with a pop of color.
Okay.
If everybody has pops of color or dark moody vibes, you know, maybe you go with the bright and airy, you know? So something that will make you stand out in the scrolling, because that's really ultimately where they'll click and go book. Then they go into the space and then they see all the details. But I think the first thing is color psychology and basing it off of some of the comps that you have on your in your market.
Okay. Do you suggest, this is a question for my listening too, that the thumbnail that people see when they're scrolling through Airbnb, for example, do you put just one picture or do you put a collage of a little bit of the best pictures that you have or maybe two or three rooms? What do you suggest on that?
So this is a big topic of contention in a lot of real estate with a lot of real estate investors, because you know, a lot of people feel like they need to put in a billion and one. My opinion is you're better off with one very effective photo.
Okay.
Rather than a lot of little ones that confuse and potentially lose.
Yeah.
Because I think, again, going back to what the viewer is looking at, right? The booker, the potential booker is going on the platform, most likely on their phone, and is scrolling past little thumbnails. And so what you want is something that's going to really capture their attention. You want like your hero shot, as they call it, to be something that, what would that ideal, again, always thinking with that ideal client in mind, what would that ideal client want to do? So if your market's in the mountains, you probably want a hot tub, right? Like, or something you can picture yourself in. If you're in a metro area, you want to see the conveniences or like the proximity. And maybe the location, if it just depends. If you have amazing surroundings, then that's really what's going to be most attractive. So that should be your first shot. And I think it should be a single, very effective shot. And
that's I need to change my thumbnail, people.
Hey, listen, there's a lot of very successful SDRs that have the thing. I just like simplicity because, again, we don't want to confuse and overwhelm the viewer. That's all.
True.
Whatever potential booker.
I do love what you're saying about targeting to the right people, because for example, mine, I can use mine as an example, is it's a very specific location where we get usually an older crowd, people, snowbirds, we call them the snowbirds, people who escape. I have a house in Florida, people who escape the winters from Michigan, New York, Ohio, and they go south. So we have a very unique, it's a seasonal rental. So I love what you're saying, because I'm definitely not going to put something with a ping pong table and a pool table, and because they're not interested in that, right? They're interested in how close are all the restaurants and the beach and everything, and how comfortable is your house? Do I have all the amenities? Do I have the washer, dryer, things like that? Is that what you're referring to?
100%.
Okay.
And I think, again, it's kind of detaching yourself from the property. It's very different than residential design, and making sure that it's the fun part of STR design is that you get to do a little bit of branding.
And yeah.
It is completely branded to attract and market to. And everything that you do is you narrow down to that particular guest. And the way that you define that guest is really by looking at your market and making sure that you're let's say, like in your case, you have an older crowd, for example, then do we have to start considering, you know, okay, is there handrails in my steps?
Right.
You know, little things like that, because those little details may be overlooked by somebody else, but could be a highlight for your listing. So, I mean, like what you said, maybe older people like, you know, reading more than watching TV. So you set more reading spaces for them rather than an area to watch football, you know. It's completely geared towards that persona. And so I think it's really important to really put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
And what would they like? And maybe do some market research online. And that's kind of what we try to do at Dwell in Rome, which is my company. We try to go in and make sure that we do a lot of the background research before we put forth a design for the client.
I love that. Because a lot of places where people rent an Airbnb, they want it themed because they want the experience. Like when you said, when you go to the mountains, you want the whole mountain experience. You want the cabin with the fireplace and little black bear decorations and all that. You don't want to go to a cabin in the mountains with beach decorations.
100%.
Right? That's just not for it. So STRs, I'm sorry, real quick, she said STRs just to make sure our viewers understand.
Oh, yeah.
Short-term rentals. So we're going to talk about STR a lot. What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, and I was just going to go to your point. I mean, you don't want, you know, a Paris decoration in New York, you know. you want something that's going to attract, that it's going to make the customer feel like they're in that place that you are, you know, where your STR is, where your short-term rental is located.
Yeah, so. I love that. Now, which furniture pieces must be high quality and which can be budget finds?
Definitely top three would be your sofa. You want, that has to be
high quality.
That has to be high quality. Yep. Sofas, beds, and dining chairs. There's a couple reasons for that. Number one is you don't want anybody, I have an insurance background too, so
falling.
You don't want anybody falling. And believe me, you know, people do all kinds of things in beds. Like, they're going to be moving around and doing all kinds
of
things.
What are you referring to?
So those beds have to be sturdy.
Yeah.
So I always look at the quality of the bedding, the quality of the slats, the material, and making sure that it is solid, put like well put together.
Okay.
You know, that is
That's important. A good tip.
Yeah, and dining chairs too. You have to go when you shop, look at the specs and make sure they hold enough weight for somebody, because you have to consider that not everybody is 100 pounds, okay? So you have to make sure that you account for people of all shapes and sizes, and you have to make sure that they can get in on and off of the chair comfortably as well. So
I need to redesign my home.
These are all great.
Oh my gosh.
The good thing is these are not necessarily expensive things. So
as
you, they age or whatever, you have an opportunity again to refresh it with new things. And the beds, the sofas, and the best of sofas and the dining chairs are probably the best high ticket items. Everything else, you can probably source it from Facebook Market.
Yeah.
You may be able to go to Amazon, Wayfair, Target. You know, there's a million places. But again, back to the ideal client. If you're in a very high value area,
yes,
and in a very luxurious rental,
don't go cheap.
You're not gonna get stuff from those places. You might need to bump it up a tad for a lot better, because people notice those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's part of the overall experience that you provide. And if you have a very expensive rental charging $1,000 a night, but with IKEA shelves, it's not gonna really make the customer feel like they're getting their value for their money.
It's not the luxury experience. Exactly. If you're paying that much, you want a luxury experience for sure. Yeah. Okay. That makes all I need to. Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway, this is making me stress.
Don't stress. There's always ways to. You're going to make a lot of income from that.
Yes. So yes.
You have to see it also as an investment. And if anybody needs like a refresh, and again, that's the good thing about STRs, you have opportunities to do that throughout the year.
Yes.
And it slows
that is true.
And things like that.
I have changed my stuff, you know, as we go, I've improved it. And absolutely. Yeah. How does color selection influence the booking rate? Is there a relationship?
Yes, I definitely think you want, again, cohesiveness throughout the spaces. I've seen some STRs, even though they're themed, I mean, you don't want some bright red room and then a purple one, excuse me, and then a calming one. You know, it just has to make sense as the person walks through the space. Everything has to, my favorite word is cohesiveness, because that's really what design is. It's visual cohesiveness, and then that, again, evokes a feeling in the person. So I think you can still have contrast. You can still have moody tones, or if you like calming neutrals, you know, you can have all that. But you have to do it in a way where it blends well together and it makes sense, so it doesn't clash. So using the color wheel is very important. That's what we learned in design school.
But there you go.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because then you feel you're in two different spaces in the same house. Like it's two different houses, and it can get confusing and just not.
Yeah, it doesn't flow.
You know? Doesn't flow. There you go.
You want it to flow, just like when you put your pictures, again, thinking about the way that you present the Airbnb or the STR or the VRB or whatever, wherever you're booking. You want to make sure that your pictures don't all look, you know, weird together, because they are going to see them all in one page as little thumbnails.
Yes. Daniela, real quick, right before we go on the break, where can our viewers connect with you for design help, for short-term rental guidance, for staging support? Tell us where they can find you real quick.
Right now, find us on Instagram. We're at Dwell and Roam Designs. So find us on our Instagram so you can start following and liking all our things. And we'll start posting more stuff where you can fill out a form if you're interested in working with us.
Love it. She's amazing. I think I'm going to have to hire her for my Airbnb soon.
Yes, please. I would love that.
Yes. Now, up next, we are going to talk about design upgrades with the highest return on investment, even on a tight budget. Stay tuned.
Stories, strategies, and inspiration to help you write your next home chapter. This is Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Veronica Dinkins, and you're watching Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. Let's jump back into today's conversation.
Welcome back to Home Story. If you're watching today thinking, I want my space to look amazing, that'll be me, but I don't want to spend thousands, this segment is for you. Daniela here, the beautiful Daniela, specializes in strategic design upgrades that create major impact without major renovation. Many homeowners and STR owners, remember STR is short-term rental, STR owners want results but are afraid of overspending. So smart tweaks, not big remodels, can completely transform value. Dani, talking about, I call her Dani, sorry, Daniela. Talking about the, what we were talking about, let's piggyback on that real quick. What are some of the small details that really don't cost much money at all that can give the guests a five-star experience, and that way you get five-star reviews on your STR?
Okay, so some of the things that, again, are often overlooked by us as investors, but not as guests, and again, putting ourselves in their shoes, are little things like a luggage rack. If I arrive, I want to be able to put my luggage somewhere. If I'm sitting there with my luggage going around like, oh my God, where do I put this?
I have that
on the bed. Definitely a luggage rack. Hooks. Put hooks everywhere. I mean, not literally everywhere, but in functional areas where you know, just like as if you were in your house, you walk in, where do you hang your coat? Where do you hang your coats? Where do you put your shoes? You know, the specific placement of items creates functional stay, and the mm-hmm. functional stay makes it easy, and easy makes them want to come back. So yes, they want to be easy. Another one is blackout curtains. You know,
yes, nailed that one too. Yeah.
When you're in a stay, you want to sleep in. You know, you're yeah. on vacation, so black those out. I mean, blackout curtains are very inexpensive and something that makes a huge impact. Makes it feel like a hotel, and mm-hmm. that's what you want as well. And chargers everywhere and every side of the bed. You know, ideally one for each guest. If you're hosting for six people, then have six chargers.
Like the actual charger or somewhere where they can plug in their charger?
You don't want it to be like one charger in the island of the kitchen. You want it to be each nightstand to have their own little charging station.
Okay.
They are super inexpensive.
Yes.
And they're like a little cube, so they're not visually.
And you can buy the ones that has all the SUV types and all
yes.
the, yeah.
Exactly, for all the phones and things.
Yes.
But, and then lastly, I would say kitchen essentials, you know, kitchen essentials and enough towels.
Yes.
People don't have enough towels. I can't tell you how many times I've stayed at a place mm-hmm. and people give me like one washcloth, one towel, but I'm staying six nights.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to use the same towel I use, you know. So as a guest and as an investor, that's one of the things I definitely do. I mean,
yeah.
you want for your potential bookers.
Yay, I'm doing good on that.
There you go. We're getting good.
And I do a bathrobe. People love the bathrobe.
Oh, yeah, bathrobes are good too.
Yes.
Slippers, you know, little details again.
Little
it's
details.
All about the experience, but it matters. It does make an impact.
Every time I get a five-star review, most of my reviews, thankfully, are five-star. I've only had a couple that have been four. Every comment is, you thought about everything. Because
yes.
I leave little Q-tips in the drawers of the bathrooms.
Yes.
I leave, you know, for women. I live, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I live all of those little things, and I'm beach themed because I'm really close to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they need for the beach is in the garage.
Yes.
Absolutely everything. So if you're in a place where they're going to go skiing, leave them, you're not going to supply everything, but leave them the glasses that they can use, things mm-hmm. like that. Does that make sense?
I think it's all about anticipating the guest needs. You know?
Yes.
And again, if we can anticipate not every single one, but the majority of it, again, it'll just feel like an easy stay. And that's what you want. You want that feeling. If you can evoke a feeling, a strong feeling of comfort,
yes,
you're going to get a five-star review. Almost 100%.
You really are. I will say that.
Yes.
Now, what inexpensive upgrades deliver the biggest return on investment, ROI, for sellers?
For sellers? For staging?
Well, I guess now we're switching a little bit to
okay.
the selling side of it. Well, it, a combination,
way,
actually.
Honestly,
a combination of both, because we are going to talk about short-term rentals as well in this segment.
Yes. And either way, the small details make a difference. They
yeah.
maximize the ability for the person to sell or to rent, you know, in the case of a short-term rental. But I would say a big one for me that I've seen over and over is caulking.
Oh, yes.
People overlook it. It gets moldy. It gets gross.
It comes on the inspections.
It comes up in inspections.
Yep.
Then it can lead to potential questions and all these things. Just clean up the caulking. You know, make it look new.
Yep.
A good deep clean is a big one too. You know, I know you don't want to spend a deep cleaning every 5 minutes, but you do want to invest in that because a clean space makes it feel automatically better. You know, You don't want to go around and see all kinds of dusty and like crusty looking things everywhere. That is a big thing. So I would say investing in deep cleaning. We talked about hardware earlier.
Yes.
When we were talking about
do before. The same on your short-term rental.
Same in the short-term yes. rental. When you're buying a new one, you don't want to necessarily go crazy and revamp a whole kitchen. You know,
yeah.
You don't have, it's about returns, and you won't get the return for your money necessarily for that purpose. So changing the hardware, changing the faucets and things like that. And lastly, fresh paint. Probably the highest ROI out there is paint.
Yes.
And keeping it fresh, you know. Useful
okay.
because it can be easily patched up, and you can do fresh paint upgrades and touch-ups here and there
okay.
as your stays progress.
That makes sense. Now, what upgrades boost nightly rates the most in short-term rentals?
Which upgrades?
Yes. So if you're going to do, you know,
okay.
you bought a property and you want to put it on short-term rental, what are some of the upgrades that you recommend that are really going to boost the value and the return on investment when you do those?
So like what I just mentioned right now about the kitchen, not always being feasible for somebody to go in and buy a property and like revamp the whole kitchen
right.
and the whole bathroom, but just little things like, again, we talked about paint over and over, but that's
yes.
the one. Update your bedding and your linens. That's really important. Having clean linens, you know, that has to be, usually we recommend white linens just because it gives people the hotel feel.
Yeah.
And it makes them feel like, you know, and you can see everything too. Which, you know, for a host, it might be.
Can be hard.
It can't, but again, that's why laundry and a good cleaner comes
yes.
in. You know, you have to make sure that they are on top of that. The lighting, and you have to have a well-organized space. You don't want to have a lot of clutter everywhere. Because yes, you might personalize the space. You can have some details and things, but you don't want a shelf that's full of stuff. So it's very important that you don't put too many little tiny trinkets and things everywhere. Keep
yeah.
it simple.
One of the things I will say that I've gotten feedback on is some guests will check everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say everything is they're going to take the bedding sheets off the bed to make sure that the mattress is clean. So
oh, yeah.
I use a mattress protector.
Yes.
And my cleaners yeah. need to tell me if they have any stains, you got to remove it and you got to put a new one. What do you
curtain
recommend?
Liners.
There you go. What do you recommend on things like that?
Curtain liners are a big one too. Curtain
yeah.
liners I see a lot. You know, they start getting gross and moldy and you don't want that. And I think something else for the cleaners, the oversight, under the beds, you know, there's all
yes.
kinds of accumulation of flurries and things going on down there. And all the guest needs to do is drop something. And then they're like, oh, what is underneath
yeah.
my bed? And then they automatically get an ick feeling that's not going to go away. So I think that's a big one, too. And I think back to what you were saying, too, before, another feature would be for STR specifically is a feature item. Whether it's
yeah.
an amenity, a wall, wallpaper, something that pops, something that does have personality. Whereas for staging,
that's my next question. Yes,
it's a little bit different.
Yes, exactly.
Staging is not like you're removing personality, but you do want to again neutralize a little bit to appeal to a broader audience. With short-term rentals, it's the opposite. You're appealing to a narrow audience. You want specifically to attract that renter.
Yes. And speaking about having a boom space, are accent walls still trending and do they add value on your short-term rental?
I like to call them more than a wall. I like to call them like a feature, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be just that one wall, or I think it needs to, again, be cohesive with the entire space. So if you do just one wall, sometimes it feels like it's disconnected from the rest of the space. So you do want it to kind of go along with the color scheme and feel it of the whole house. The fabrics, the visual textures, everything matters. The pillows that you pick.
Yeah.
You know, how many decorative ones you put, how many you put in the beds behind them, the lighting. All of those have to make sense together for it to work. Otherwise, one feature wall would actually cause sometimes a disconnect for people if it's not properly executed.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, again, go with the theme, right? So if you're in a place that's very theme oriented, like New York, you said, for example.
Yeah.
Or if you go to the mountains, or if you go to the beach, or if you go to a very specific place, do you, for example, you have your short-term rental here in Charlotte.
Yes.
Can you tell us, give us some examples of some of the things that you've done to make it pop?
I liked, a lot of my ideal client is a millennial that's coming to town for, you know, a game or for work.
Go Panthers!
Go Panthers! So I feel like My guest avatar called for a younger, urban, fun looking space. So I went with very moody colors. I went with really nice, cool furniture, specifically, you know, like an Eames looking chair. I have a vinyl record player. I have a
full, that is so cool.
Yeah, I like it. It has that urban feel but with style, you know. So I do get that feeling that I'm close to the city, even though I'm in a house near the city, not in the middle of downtown or uptown or whichever the city you're in.
Yeah,
you know. But so I did go with that to attract. And the way I did that was mostly with wallpaper. Wallpaper and color was the way that I approached that.
I love that.
Again, the amenities that you select are a big one.
Yeah.
Too. You know, the vinyl player, that appeals to my kind of client. So I went with that.
I will say this. When I saw the pictures that she posted for her Airbnb, she did some pictures that I had never even thought of, which was actually enjoying parts of the house. So, for example, she has a lot of games outside in the backyard. There were pictures of them playing with the games and things like that. That made such a big difference when I saw your pictures. What do you recommend? I need to do that at my Airbnb. What do you recommend people that have things like that, have things that are very unique, how to take the pictures and be a little bit quick because we're about to go on the break?
Yeah, I mean, everything is experiential when it comes to that. So if you have a fire pit, my biggest recommendation is have the fire pit on when you take the picture. Have the marshmallows. Even if you don't show the person's face, you know, show the body. Have somebody with the coffee, with the mug and the little smoky coming out.
Yeah.
And they're playing the games. You know, I think lifestyle photography is really important, and get a short-term rental specific photography, not just a real estate photographer. It's very important. They're very specific and they do blend lifestyle with real estate perfectly. So I recommend going specifically with a short-term rental.
I mean, I saw her pictures and I live 15 minutes away from the house and I want to go rent it. So
you can come anytime.
They were very effective. Absolutely.
<Thank you. laughs>
Now, coming up, how to design spaces that look beautiful, that survive guests. That is a big one. And attract buyers all at once. You do not want to miss this. So make sure that you come back.
Stories, strategies, and inspiration to help you write your next home chapter. This is Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Veronica Dinkins, and you're watching Home Story with Veronica on Now Media Television. Let's jump back into today's conversation.
Welcome back to Home Story. Don't miss a second of today's episode or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows. Streaming and on demand anytime. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS for instant access to bilingual programming in English and Espanol. Do you prefer podcasts? Listen anytime at www.nowmedia.tv. From real estate and business to lifestyle and culture, Now Media TV is on 24/7, so you never miss a moment. Welcome back to Veronica, to Home Story with Veronica. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties with the microphone, so you'll see me passing it around this time. In the final segment, we're actually going to talk about the holy grail of design, spaces that are stylish, durable, functional, and appealing to both guests, if you have a short-term rental, and buyers, if you are a seller. Daniela has mastered blending beauty with practicality. So, Daniela, families, pets, kids, and guests put homes to the test. Materials, layouts, and design decisions can make or break a space's longevity.
Longevity.
I wish I could do this in Spanish sometimes, I promise you. Dani, what materials are most durable for high traffic short-term rentals or STRs?
I think the top...
You don't have to lean, it's okay.
The top materials that I would recommend would definitely be performance fabrics. Any kind of performance fabric you can put on a sofa, especially if you're buying new furniture, you have to make sure that you look at the specs to make sure they have performance fabric. Not every fabric is created equal. So resisting stains and especially pet odors and things like that is very important. Washable rugs is a big one too.
Okay.
Not every rug can be washed in, you know, a residential laundry space, but you want to make sure that if you need to do that, you can take it to a commercial laundromat if you need to, but at least have the ability to take stains off, especially if you're a pet-friendly stay. You know, that is a big one.
Yes.
Because, you know, pets do their things everywhere. The other one that's
people
really...
People too, I would argue.
People too, but I won't comment on that. Then next. Believe it or not, leather and faux leather are really good. They are very forgiving. So real leather is very forgiving and can be conditioned and helps kind of hide some of the things because it naturally patinas very well, like okay. ages well. So depending on the style of your short-term rental, you may consider real leather. But if not, faux leather is a good option and easy for cleanups. It doesn't absorb because it's a faux material. So it doesn't absorb these stains and things like that the same way as other materials do.
Okay.
And quartz, if you're doing some more remodeling extensive or changing countertops and things like that, I would say quartz is probably the easiest to maintain. It doesn't soak up items like or etch like natural stone and marble do. Marble's beautiful. I love it. But, you know, again, there's a time and a place for every finish. And for short-term rentals, durability matters and yes. function. So I think quartz is probably the best way. And for furniture, solid wood is your go-to. We talked about the top three solid pieces you want to get. So definitely solid wood if you can find that instead of, you know, MDF and things like that.
They break, they stain, they yep. scratch very easily.
Yes.
And that gives, you know, not a very nice feeling when a guest comes in and it's all.
Yeah. And even for outdoor furniture, and a very overlooked one in outdoor furniture is you might have the very distinctive, you know, durable material on the surface, but the screws that do the connecting of the pieces get oxidized really quickly. So when they rust and start leaking and all kinds of stuff, like that's not a good thing. And you might as well just put a little bit of investment up front on better pieces yeah. rather than having to swap them because eventually it'll break the bank to have to swap them so often.
Yes.
So certain pieces you want to invest.
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to say something that completely split my mind So we're going to go to the next.
Yes.
How do you choose furniture that's both stylish and long lasting?
I think I go with the main items always being clean lines, solid construction, like we talked about the wood, we talked about, you know, the built of it and how they're attached. And you also want to look at where you get them from. You yeah. don't want to, you know, there's certain, look at reviews. Even when you're shopping online, check reviews. Some of the people that comment on the reviews will tell you a lot about a product. Doesn't mean they're 100% right all the time, but you do want to do a little bit of back end work mm-hmm. before just like going with the first thing you see. Some things are really pretty, but they're not, you know, they're not functional or, you know, very easy to maintain. So you want to try to find things that are going to be better materials for wiping. And again, we talked about the absorption of fabrics and things like that.
Now, remember what I was going to say, because I'm having a problem.
There you go.
Beware of your environment. I'm in a place that is very humid. There's a lot of humidity. Sorry. The flooring that we put, even though it's fantastic in North Carolina, it is not fantastic in Florida. So the heart, like the LVP, the humidity is getting to it. You can see it move a little bit. So what do you suggest when you, those type of things to pay attention to? Tile, for me, would have been the best option. I didn't even think about it. What are some of the things that you look for when you're making those decisions of what material to use, depending on where you are?
I definitely look at how the space is going to be used. So if it's a bathroom and you're looking at flooring or tile, for example, for the area that's in the shower pan, you don't want any slippery material because that will cause a problem, especially short-term rentals.
Yes.
Or even if you're doing a quick remodel to sell your house after, you don't want any materials that are going to cause, you know, somebody to slip and fall very easily, you know.
Yeah.
So ideally for bathrooms, for example, I try to select something that has a little bit of a texture, so that it has a little bit of, you know, rough traction really for it. When I look at countertops and cabinetry and things like that, I look at the construction of the hardware a lot of times because a lot of times the panels are great, but when you move them on and off, they can loosen up really easy. So making sure the quality of the hardware is there. We talked about countertops and when selecting beds and all that, we basically went over that. But I would say quality construction is going to be the biggest thing. Flooring for main areas. If you need high traffic areas, you know, don't try going with like a very light carpet. You know, that wouldn't make any sense. I think those are common sense things. But I also feel like a lot of people overlook them because they were trying to save a penny here. But in the long run, it costs more money.
And I think, you know, for us who don't really know all these beautiful things that you do know, we don't think about it. We just go with a shiny object, whatever we think is going to be cute, whatever's going to look better. And we didn't think of the functionality of an LVP in a high humidity area.
Right.
So those are the things that, you know, if you put the thought into it or you counsel with a professional and have her actually help you, that's going to save you so much money, because now we have to redo the floors in my entire house because, I mean, it's bad. So
thinking long term is better usually when you're designing.
Absolutely.
And keeping everything kind of neutral, and then the little things can always be changed around. But do keep in mind that part of your budget will go to the pieces that are going to last you the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the flooring, the materials, the finishes, and the big pieces of the space.
Yes. Now, what storage solutions make a property feel more functional? Because I know that can be very important.
I would say shelving in the bathroom is often overlooked. There's nowhere to put stuff. If you don't have vanity space or anything, then at least have, if you have a small bathroom, you have to have at least some shelving or something to put some items. That is a big one. You definitely want a closet system of some sort. Even if it's when a guest stays, you don't want just like one shelf. You know, you want to have some form of shelving inside of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, hangers and stuff, but that's definitely...
Hangers are a huge one. Hangers, I hate going and there's three hangers. And you're like, really?
Where do I put my stuff? You know, again, back to like the luggage rack, you know, where do I put my stuff?
Yes.
You don't want them putting... And you want to kind of direct where people put their things, not just let them freely put it on top of the countertop and then ruin it for you, you know, or your white linens and then they get ruined with a dirty suitcase.
Yeah.
You know, you want to direct them for that. And then baskets, you know, baskets are a big one too. Mm-hmm. If you have a nice throw, you want to have somewhere for people to drop things in. I have in my Airbnb, for example, or my short-term rental, I have little valets, which are just a little kind of thing, a trinket tray almost.
Okay.
Where people can leave things. And that's also where I put the remote control, for example. So people know that that's the designated area for the remote control. And so when everything has a designated space, people have a tendency to follow it a lot more. You could say also nightstands with drawers, but that can work against you in an Airbnb sometimes, in a short-term rental sometimes, because you don't want, you just have to make sure your cleaners are good about looking in those drawers after the stay.
Yeah.
Because people do leave things behind. But other than that, that is also a really good storage solution. And sometimes underneath the bed, there's also an opportunity for storage there. I always have an armoire or a dresser of some form for people to put their stuff if they're staying longer than a week.
Right.
Sometimes they like to unpack completely, you know?
Yeah.
So those are really key items to have.
Okay. And what are some of the best strategies to keep a home show ready or ready for a short-term rental with kids and pets?
I think the hardest thing for staging especially is, oh, you have a showing. Can we come today in an hour, or can we come in a couple hours? And you're like, oh my God, you're scrambling to get everything picked up. So I think you have to have a system. Once you've decided I'm going to sell my house, you have to have a system. You have to kind of designate, same with the designation of spaces, a clutter space. So if you have a little counter or something, so that if your realtor says, oh, we have a showing, let's go, action, you know, you can grab that. You can grab that and have like little baskets or a bin or something where you can just throw everything in there and then get to it later, you know. But make it easy on yourself to clean up. So designated clutter areas and bins or baskets or whatever you want to call them for that. And
you can throw stuff in, cover it, and nobody sees it.
Yeah, and quick and maintaining that rhythm is the hardest part. But if you do it often, it will be less painful, so it doesn't accumulate for you when there's a showing or something relevant.
I would love to talk to you for 100 hours because this has been absolutely amazing. But I want my viewers, this has been so insightful. I want my viewers to follow your work, book a consultation, or explore your design services. How do they do that? Where do they go? Where do they follow you?
They can follow us on our Instagram. It's Dwell and Roam Designs.
D-W-E-L-L?
Yes. D-W-E-L-L, the word, and R-O-A-M. Because we dwell and we live and we roam because we travel, right?
Aww, that's awesome. I love that.
So Christy and I, my co-founder, my business partner and I, we will be...
You have only a few seconds.
Okay.
No pressure.
Okay. We need to make sure that you go in there and you click on the form to book a consultation for your next short-term
rental. Awesome. And what's your phone number for our viewers who don't have Instagram, real quick?
561 235-1657.
561 Florida, baby. Thank you so much for watching, Daniela, for sharing your experience and your strategies. This has been absolutely amazing. And to our viewers, remember that every home has a story, and with the right design approach, and it can be a story that actually sells, inspires, and creates opportunity. I'm Veronica Dicas, and this is Home Story. See you next time.